Good morning and welcome to the Project Joy radio show. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
All right, with our assignment from yesterday, paradise is where I am. Imagine for a moment how life would be if we had been conditioned to see the world as heaven and all negative conversations in our head as hell. Pause for a moment to take that in, please. I bet we'd put a big part, if not all of our attention, on staying in heaven and out of hell. The Buddha taught that this is heaven, and it's also hell, depending on our point of view. Look through the eyes of authenticity, and we see heaven. Look through the eyes of ego, and we see hell. The damnable aspect of our human state is that we're conditioned to use the eyes of hell to find heaven. Today, practice seeing the difference between looking through the eyes of ego and the eyes of presence. Hint, that gap between thoughts offers an effortless place to make the switch. Record and listen. All right, shall we hear from our first caller?
Oh, yes, please. Eager to hear.
First caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hi. Hi, Sherry. Hi, Srinya. This is Pasha.
Hi,
hey, Pasha.
This was a great assignment, and very timely for me as I'm clearly seeing the difference between the seeing through the eyes of life and seeing through the eyes of conditioning.
Yeah. The line that I was so struck by in that, that so helps us see what we're up against, is that we're conditioned to use the eyes of ego to find heaven. Oh, my God.
Yeah. What are the chances? What is a miracle to find practice and find heaven through practice when we were searching, identified and with ego? It's it makes me appreciate this miracle of receiving practice and seeing, you know, what are how lucky I am, and I see how people around struggle, and often as you probably know many times, resist the practice simply.
Yeah. You know, we hear people talk about getting to that place in awareness where there's a sense, a strong sense, a felt sense of being guided.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that we look back over our lives and realize, I didn't make these choices. I mean, it was a long way into it before I said, what I want to do is wake up and end suffering, right? And yet, the feet are just, they just keep going down the path, and we have no conscious awareness at all that we are just on this trajectory to get to a place of realizing this is possible. It's possible to wake up in this lifetime and end suffering, and I know that. And not only do I know that, I actually know how to do it.
Yes.
That's crazy miraculous.
Yes, that's a double miracle. And
yeah.
I see how kind of now, when I go and kind of identified, and I know the way, I know how to get out of there. and I can see how I'm getting there. So it becomes visible and possible for someone who is practicing while, you know, being in kind of traveling back and forth. What are those called? Undulations? I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing correctly.
Yeah, undulations. Yeah.
Yes, yeah. and now I can accept Pasha and practice with those undulations, not going with conditioned story how wrong I am that I went last week identified and get myself into trouble. I can pull myself up and I know where to go, what to do, and I can feel right now I can go to the place between the thoughts. And let it arrive, you know. So what lately started happening is when I go there, there is still kind of remnants of a story, like, oh yeah, there's you're leaving everything and it's gonna broke down and fire gonna start, and I see the courage of staying there and having faith that there is no fire. There is nothing going to explode. I just have to be here, and everything going to come here by itself. Life brings everything here every moment.
Yes. And, Pasha, the two things that you said there that to me are so significant, one is the faith and trust. Right? So you step in a hole. Good. That's a hole that you haven't stepped in with conscious awareness. So now you get to explore that. There's a piece of karma that got you, and now you get to get some clarity about that. It's not wrong. It's not a problem. It's this path, as far as I can tell, is not meant for us just to step into the sunshine and then just skate happily along, never seeing or facing anything again. That doesn't seem to be what it's about. And the second part of that, having that faith and trust, is that we can be with people who are struggling and suffering. You know, you offer them a possibility. Ego jumps in and says, no, I don't want to do that. I don't believe that. That's crazy. And we can just say, okay. Because we know there's nothing wrong with where they are. They're just where they are, right? And so we can, you know, we can silently cheer them on and wish them well and offer blessings and know that they're fine. It's okay. We don't have to swerve off into the ditch in order to be concerned about somebody else.
Yes. And with that, Cashel.
Did you say with that, Gasho?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you, Pasha.
Thank you.
All right.
Well, I'll say the same, Sherry, and bring the next caller on.
Yeah, that was some really helpful pieces of the puzzle, wasn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So here we go. Next caller, you're now live. Ooh.
Did you lose him?
No, I just might have brought in the wrong person, but that's never the case. I mean, it's hang on one second, Sherry. It's doing its own thing. So
you pointed in this direction and it went in that direction. Proving.
That's
we
exactly
are not in control,
right.
Even of the computer in front of us.
Okay, here we go. Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Sweeney. It's Loren in Connecticut.
Hi, Loren. Hello, Loren.
Hi. It had been a little while since I had put myself in the queue and said hello, so I wanted to say hello and say thank you for reminding me I could spend the morning in heaven.
Isn't it the truth? And with what we were just talking about with Pasha, you know, we forget those kinds of things, and we kind of wander off in directions. And the voices want to say, well, you know, that was a big mistake, but it wasn't. And so then we remember, and then here we are. We're right here in heaven, having had whatever adventure we had in the interim.
Exactly. That was just my experience this morning. I think the word remember is exactly right, because what I've been seeing lately is, and I think this is connected to the idea of faith and practice, but it's like my nervous system remembers. So this morning I woke up and I was having a little bit of, I had stayed in bed longer, which is one of the commitments I try to work with, you know, to just get out of bed when it's time to get out of bed without resistance. But it was really helpful some months back, you know, the guidance was given to somebody, okay, well, once you're up, then just be up. You know, you don't have to go back to what was going on. And so I got out of bed and I opened Project Joy assignment and reread it. And it was like, I read the first line and I thought, okay, I can stop here, because I read that line that was offering, you know, that first line, and I went, oh, yeah, this is heaven. And it's like my body, my nervous system, it just remembered that was so.
Yes. Well, I can't tell. I bet you do. By the sound of your voice, I bet you do get the significance of that. Right? That all you did, so there's the impulse to read the assignment, right? It dropped in, right, that as we talk about. It just occurs to you. And so you read the assignment, you read one line of the assignment, and your entire body-mind system alters.
Yeah.
Now, the same thing, of course, happens to us in reverse, which is why I'm just beating that drum constantly about do not look to conditioned mind and follow along with that negative conversation, because it'll tank you, right? And so what you're describing, of course, is doing the alternative to that. It's not the opposite of that, but it's the alternative to that, right? Yeah, that one line and, whew, oh, that's right. Oh, I'm in heaven.
Yes, and it's just, it is, I've been connecting it to the line in the daily recollection about ever-expanding faith, and it brought me back to this memory of the first time, and I'm sure I had the experience many times in my life, but the first time that I was on a There Is Nothing Wrong With You retreat, and I had the experience of nothing wrong, and I was in a week of being supported of this is what you're looking for, and to actually have that experience and see what it is, you know, it was very powerful, but then, of course, it was, well, I have no idea how that happened and what really happened there, and you know, and it's just that, you know, this whether we call it heaven today, this experience, or it really also is just the experience of absolutely nothing wrong, and just having the faith that it's a real place, and there's more recognition of it as a choice, and I'm just so grateful. Yeah. So thank you.
And the little handy Zen catchphrase that goes with that is, heaven is what's here when we stop doing everything else.
Mm-hmm.
Right, which is what happened to you, and what you then closed in on as this is a conscious choice we can make. And then there's the little hint about the space between the thoughts, because when we're not up there with conditioned mind, we're just here. The word heaven drops in, and there's a resounding yes, yes, this is.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. All goes together nicely, doesn't it?
It does.
Yeah. Thank you, Loren.
Thank you.
Enjoy
Bye.
Heaven.
Yes,
bye-bye.
Everyone.
Thanks, Loren. You know, the part of that that most resonated for me, Sherry, is that recognition of our ability to practice being in heaven, that it's a conscious choice, that we're not
yes.
just subject to whatever the shenanigans of the voice in the head or karma or anything that
yes.
we actually don't have a choice about. I think you were talking about it in the radio show. But there's no response. We didn't choose to be born to this family, to this environment, in this set of circumstances, to this social conditioning, at this time, in this place, nothing. It's all
right.
It's all what it is. And often it feels like we have to survive that, and the survival is hell. And yet if we
mm-hmm.
get to that place of acceptance, we have another choice.
Mm-hmm.
And to be able to practice that choice rather than randomly just experience it once in a while really is
mm-hmm.
what keeps us, at least it's certainly what keeps me in practice, that there is a way in which I am not victimized by
circumstances
or
yeah.
mental activity or feelings
yeah.
or karma or any of those things.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, when you were saying that, I thought it just a wonderful, simple mantra / practice would be, I choose heaven.
Yes.
I choose heaven. And just watch. Just watch how life changes. Not life
yes.
with a capital L. My life.
How yes.
my life
well,
changes.
Well, and I think it's what you were, it's maybe in an up-and-coming quote, that I choose heaven simply means I choose the lens through which I choose to view the world.
Yes.
That's it.
Yes. That's it. That's it. Yep. That's what I have, the ability to do.
Yeah. Victim or participant.
I get to choose. Yeah, I get to choose the lens. And I'm going to choose
yeah.
heaven. I'm going to choose unconditional love in heaven. Thank you very much.
Mm. Yes. And one last thing, Sherry, it doesn't seem to be that we choose the experience. We just choose the lens, right? Because that's the other place it gets us to. It has to feel equanimous and peaceful and all shades of the rainbow. But it, whatever it is, the lens that we look through gives us the ability to be in a relationship with the circumstances that is not a suffering one.
That's right. Yeah. That's that place that we talk about of it's a gift. I may not always recognize it immediately as a gift, but if I'm looking at it that way, if that's the lens I'm looking through, pretty soon I'm going to see, oh my gosh, I've gotten so much out of this.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's hear from our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
This is Tony from Athens.
Well, hello, Tony.
Hey, Sherry. Hey, it's Renee.
Hello.
Well, okay. So I just had an experience yesterday of something that it was a little bit of suffering, and now it feels like it's moved to being from a place of heaven. And one of the things that really helped is I've been doing the two-handed recording and listening practice for quite a daily now for a while, and I did it several days on this situation, and yesterday it was truly like that big switch from hell to heaven. It was quite remarkable.
Huh. Excuse me. So just going through using the two-handed recording exercise, you were able to move through various aspects of the karma. Hang on. Getting all choked up here, Tony.
Yeah, I have that effect on people, I know.
Nothing you said, really. So talk to me about that while I finish choking to death.
Oh, please don't choke to death. So I've been, one of my work situations, I've been not enjoying it as much as I had in the past. And it seemed very, I think I was operating under some conditioning and didn't fully realize it, because it seemed so like the right person thing to do. I was worrying about these people. I was just, I was not having a good experience because I was worrying about them and all of this. And I'd been doing the two-handed recording listening practice on this particular issue, like every day for several days. And then yesterday, they got to this point of, okay, I just have to work out my own salvation. I have to let them go. I have to just work on my own salvation, because this is not going very well. And then when I went in and I was with these people, it was a completely different experience.
It was obvious they're fine?
They seemed fine. They seemed like it was interesting. Like, I think I was more, there was less separation. There was more, we're all in this together. And
It's so important, Tony. So conditioning would have you believe that worrying about them is the right, loving, good person thing to do. And what you saw is that it's ego identification, right, getting you to worry about, probably close to obsess about worrying about them, which is what ego likes to do to people. And and that actually that worrying about them was making them separate. It wasn't bringing you closer together or putting you in a position to help them or anything else. It's what's creating the separation. Exactly the opposite of what we're told, right, and what we believe. So then when you drop that, now there's nothing standing between you. Now you can actually be there and be available. And what you see is, oh, well, actually they're equal to their lives.
Yes, and I love how you made that so succinct, like that worrying was creating the separation, and it was like totally not what I was wanting or trying to do.
That's right. It's the world of opposites. That's a perfect example of what we mean by that. The dualistic world of ego is the world of opposites. Almost always, what it's saying is the opposite to what is so. Right? Which is what you saw there. Worrying is the loving, caring thing to do. No. Worrying about them is the separating, ego-maintaining thing to do.
Exactly.
The other thing that we see in practice, to me, that ties in here, is that when we talk about it's almost never doing. It's always not doing, because ego is doing. And that's what you experience. Oh, I've got to worry about them. I've got to do this. So very busy doing, right? Even if it's just mental doing. And what you got to is when you stop that, when you weren't doing that, there was no problem.
Wow. Yeah.
Those are some big principles that that you got to experience in that. And what an amazing thing that you got from suffering to freedom in a few days of doing the two-handed recording exercise. That's quite phenomenal of its own self.
Well, I want to remember that doing it, like, even on the same issue several days in a row, or just, you know, over and over and over, it just kept revealing more and more, and got to this final, maybe not final, there's probably more, but this kind of this big breakthrough.
Letting big breakthrough, seeing it clearly, letting it go. And that's practice, isn't it? It's what we were talking about with Pasha, right? You're going along, and all of a sudden this thing happens, and all the information is, oh, my God, this shouldn't be happening. This is a mistake. What's wrong with me? I'm the wrong person. I'm doing it wrong. And then we practice with it, and there's big clarity and breakthrough, and we realize, oh, we're in a workshop here. Life is a workshop.
Yes, and thank goodness we have these tools and practices
yep.
to help us.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Otherwise, we'd be stuck a lot. Thank
oh,
you, Tony.
Oh, I know. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Oh, you're very welcome. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Tony. And it looks like we have time for one more caller, Sherry. So next caller,
oh,
you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is June at Murphy's or Hill.
Hello, June.
Hi. Well, that was an interesting conversation. let's see. I have an experience to relate of the damnable aspect that we try to find heaven through the eyes of hell. I had trouble sleeping last night, and I was awake until the wee hours, and there was as that happens with some frequency, and I'm always aware of going off into conditioned mind, coming back, going off, coming back. And not once during the night did this Project Joy assignment exercise occur to me. And I really wish it had. But it didn't.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of hope I don't sleep again tonight.
Because you're ready.
Because I'm ready and I'm armed.
Yeah. You know, I had a... Oh, is there more?
Let's see. The point of all of this... Oh, the simple point is that... the process that ego talks me into is believing that there is a right set of thoughts that will end the suffering.
That is diabolical.
Yeah. And I've noticed it for a very long time, and I still very much get caught in it.
Okay. I have an idea for you, okay? If you're open to an idea here. I had this conversation with somebody recently about remembering stuff. Now, I am absolutely not a fan of remembering because remembering is usually... about 99% in the realm of conditioned mind. Okay, so what we're, of course, practicing is to be present so that we're guided, so that clarity drops in. But if we don't let ego make it a contest, then we're going to use everything that we've got at our disposal in order to put the odds in our favor. And so here's my encouragement for you. When you, in the morning, when you get the Project Joy assignment or whenever you get it, whenever you read it, you read it and you record it, okay, so that you can turn attention to it during the day. And you write down just the assignment part, okay? You don't have to write down the whole thing, but... although you can, I guess we have printers, huh? So that could actually be fairly easy to do. And so you make that available, and you walk in immediately and put it on your pillow. You could put one in another place that you, if you want two of them, you can put another one someplace where you're going to be. So maybe, you know, on the bathroom mirror is a good place or that sort of thing. On the computer screen, and there, Now you've got that support. So when you go to bed at night, there it is on your pillow. You're going to pick it up. You're going to read it, and that's what you're going to practice with if you can't sleep in the night.
Excellent.
Okay. Now, hopefully lots of folks will do this, and then we'll get a report. But hopefully you will.
Yeah, I shall. Thank you
very
much.
Good. You are very welcome.
Go happy.
Thanks, June. And, Sherry, that brings us to the end of another show.
Mm-hmm.
And here's our assignment. There is no duty we so underrate as the duty of being happy. By being happy, we sow anonymous benefits upon the world. Egocentric karmic conditioning / self-hate has managed to give duty, like service, commitment, and responsibility, a bad reputation for a lot of folks. Those things are the opposite of happy, aren't they? How can I be happy, which is defined as doing whatever I want, if I'm bogged down with grim obligations like duty, commitments, responsibilities, and most odious of all, service? I have to be free to be happy, and it turns out that's true. We need to be free of ego if we are to be happy. Today, notice that little spark of happy you feel when you keep a commitment to do your duty to be present to presence. Record and listen.
Very fun.
Very fun indeed. All right.
Thank you, Ashwini.
Talk to you tomorrow. Take care, everybody.
Thanks, everybody. Treasure yourselves.